All of our visitors, we are very glad to have you with us today and hope that you'll be blessed by being a part of our worship assembly this morning. We began last week in a study talking about the truth and specifically looking at the answer to this question, what is truth? This morning we're going to focus on true disciples. But before we begin our lesson, a couple of things I want to tell you about. First of all, to let you know, and I didn't put the picture up here, but last week Ursula was baptized into Christ. For those of you who have not met Ursula and don't know who she is, she's a lady that's been helping Chuck and Charles and Rose there at the house. And she became a Christian last week, and she is getting ready to, 1st of July, she's leaving. 1st of July, she is moving back to Germany, where she is from, and we're going to be trying to find out exactly where she's going so that we can put her in touch with the church there to guide her and encourage her. But would like to ask you to please keep Ursula on your prayer list. She's a brand new Christian, really excited about the Lord, and but as she's starting out, her life is getting ready to change in big time with moving back over there. So she needs our prayers for just guidance and encouragement for her. So really, really great news that we celebrate her baptism into Christ Jesus. Now, as soon as we finish our worship service this morning, we're going to be celebrating our graduates this year. And so we want to invite everybody to stay afterwards for a fellowship dinner to celebrate them. We'll talk more about those folks at the end of our service this morning. A program note for you. Next Sunday, Chuck is going to be speaking next Sunday morning for worship time. Cindy and I are leaving Tuesday morning to take Ben and Allison back home to South Carolina. Their mom and dad, Kyle and Maddie, will be coming back home on Saturday. They're on an extended vacation celebrating their 10th anniversary. And so Ben and Allison have been taking care of Granny and Papa while their mom and dad are away. And so we're taking them back to South Carolina Tuesday. We'll be gone through the remainder of the week. So Chuck is going to be teaching us, speaking next week in our worship time. And then for the second Sunday fellowship, which is next Sunday, he's inviting everybody over to continue Bible study and fellowship time over at his house. So keep that in mind. I want to encourage you to be here next week and support Chuck and encourage him in that effort. So that's what's happening there, okay? So those are things that are going on. When you talk about the truth, there are a lot of different reactions that people have to the truth. Okay, let's take a look at a couple of those different reactions that we find. First of all, there's peace. The truth really, in a lot of ways, brings peace to people. There is this idea, this situation that depending on what is going on with someone, the unknowns oftentimes leave people unsettled. So, in other words, when something, especially something tragic happens and, you know, where the people don't know the whole truth about what happened perhaps to their loved one who was killed or something of that nature, they're being told lies about, you know, what happened, don't really know, then it's really, really hard to be settled in those kind of situations. And what people want in situations like that more than anything is just tell me the truth. I just need to know the truth. What happened? And when the truth is actually given, what that does is allows people to find closure on whatever has gone on. So oftentimes the truth can bring peace to people. But that's not always the first reaction. Tertullian said the first reaction to truth is hatred. Okay? A lot of times people don't like the truth and they hate the truth. And they oftentimes take out their hatred on those who share the truth with them, okay? Fear is another reaction oftentimes to the truth. It is, as someone said, a natural reaction to moving closer to the truth. We start getting afraid of what's going to come about when the truth is actually found out. There are consequences that oftentimes have to be paid when the truth comes out. And sometimes people are afraid of those consequences. So fear is one of those reactions oftentimes to to the truth when it is told. And then there's that old hurt and pain, okay, that we oftentimes use the phrase, the truth hurts, right? Okay, well, here's something else to think about along that line. The truth may hurt for a little while, but a lie hurts forever. So sometimes it's good that, you know, the truth is hurting us a little bit because eventually we get through the hurt and the pain. But when we're just living a lie, it never heals. Right? And then there's this reaction. That sometimes people get angry enough when they're told the truth, they get angry enough to kill. Look at the words that Jesus says to the folks that he's talking to in John chapter 8, the text we're looking at this morning, verses 37 and 44. Look at what he says. Now, we'll talk more about this in just a moment, but understand that he's talking to people, as our text we read this morning says, to those who had believed in him. Okay? And look at what he says. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me. Right? Why are they ready to kill him? He says, because you have no room for my word. Okay? In verse 44 he says, as it is, you are ready to kill me. He says it again, you are ready to kill me, a man who has told you the truth I heard from God. So that's one of the reactions that people have to the truth. When the truth is given, it angers some people so much that they're really ready to kill somebody for that. And that's what these disciples, or these people who had believed in Jesus at one point, were ready and willing to do to Jesus because he told them the truth. So that's one of the reactions that sometimes the truth brings. Someone said people don't want to hear the truth because they don't want their illusions destroyed. And I think that's true. We live in a world today where people really don't want to face the truth. Okay? They'd rather kind of live in their perceptions of things and their realities that they've kind of put together, and they don't really care about what the true truth is. Right? Because that will destroy the illusion that they have put together around their life. In fact, things have gotten so bad concerning the truth today that the truth is the new hate speech. If you tell the truth to certain people today, they consider that to be hate speech. They don't want to hear it. And you are being cruel and evil and so on and so forth. They consider that to be hate speech if you tell them the truth. Okay? In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Okay? We live in a time when Satan is gaining more and more power in the world. And Satan, as the father of lies, does not want the truth to be told. And so to stand up today and tell the truth, okay, in a lot of circles is indeed a revolutionary act. Okay? Because a lot of people don't want to hear it. Those are different reactions to it. But what we need to focus on today is the fact that truth separates true disciples from false disciples. And that's what we're going to focus on. Let's go to the discourse in John chapter 8. We began reading that this morning, John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31 and 32, where Jesus is talking to, again, let me emphasize to you, he begins by saying here, he was talking to the Jews who had believed him. These were people who were following Jesus. Okay, at one point, they had put their faith in him and said, yes, this must be the guy that we've been waiting for. They were following around. They believed that he was the Messiah. And this is the group of people that Jesus is addressing in this discourse. Okay, he says to them, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What Jesus was doing was confronting these disciples, these believers, and I use that word kind of, you know, loosely, if you will. He was confronting those believers with the truth. Here's something I want you to think about as we go through this lesson this morning. What would Jesus say if he confronted us today? Us, those of us, you see, who are saying, yes, I'm a believer in Jesus. That's why we're here this morning, is it not? Because we are believers in Jesus.
Amen.
So if Jesus were addressing us today, like he was addressing those people who had believed in him then, what might he say to us? What might he say differently? What might he say the same to us today concerning this whole issue of the truth? Let that sink in a little bit as we talk about the truth this morning, and especially as we look at this question, what is a true disciple? Okay? True disciples, first of all, hold to the teachings of Jesus, and that's what he says here. If you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples. Now, what does that really mean in a practical sense? And how, again, would Jesus address you? How would he address me as one who claims to be his disciple? You see, the issue has to do with his teachings. Jesus says the only true disciples are those who follow his word. That's what makes a difference, or distinction rather, between a true disciple and a false disciple, is one who is following Jesus' word. Okay? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." You see, there are a lot of people who say, yes, Jesus is my Lord. There are a lot of people who say, I believe in Jesus. There are a lot of people who are doing a lot of good things in the name of Jesus. But Jesus makes it clear that they are not his disciples, those who are not doing his will. Okay? On one occasion, Jesus was teaching some people, and some disciples came to him and said, "Your mother and your brothers are here." And Jesus replied to them in this way, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Do you understand what Jesus is talking about here? It goes to that thing that we keep mentioning over and over again because it's so vitally important. It's all about the relationship that God wants to have with us as family. If you want to be in a relationship with God, he says, you've got to do God's will. Okay? You cannot do your will and expect to be in relationship with him. He will not claim you as a brother or a sister or a mother or a father, you see. Because it requires doing his will. Because that's what true disciples do. They hold to Jesus' teachings. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, he says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Well, again, what is that all about? Same thing. Obeying his teachings is what sustains the relationship. You cannot be in a relationship with Jesus and not do what he says to do. It's that simple. And to be a true disciple of Jesus requires then for us to obey his teachings, to hold to his teachings, to obey his commands. In John chapter, this is a little bit foggy for me. John chapter 14, verse 23. Notice this statement that he makes here. Again, it's talking about family, all right? "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them," and look at this, "and he will come to them and make our home with them." What's that talking about?
Relationship.
Family. What's it talking about?
Family.
You see, God wants a relationship with us. He wants us as part of His family. And He says, if you will do what I tell you to do, then you'll be in a relationship with me, and I will come and be with you, and you will be with me. That's what families do, right? See? Because that's what it's really all about. It's being in that relationship with God. But in order to do that, we have got to obey His word or hold to His teachings. That's what true disciples do. You've seen this before, haven't you? He loves me, He loves me not, right? Well, Jesus says He loves me not if He doesn't obey my teachings. We cannot say that we love God and not obey His word. Secondly, true disciples know the truth. Okay? They know the truth. That is a result of holding to the teachings of Jesus, by the way. That's what He says. If you hold to my teachings, then you are truly my disciples. Okay? Then look at this. He says, then you will know the truth. So true disciples know what the truth is. And what Jesus is doing here is connecting His teachings to the truth. They are one and the same. What Jesus says is truth. Okay? We need to understand that. If you hold to His teachings, then you know the truth. If you obey His teachings, you know the truth. Why? Because His teachings are truth. In Jesus' prayer that's recorded in John chapter 17, as He's praying for Himself and for His disciples, look at what He says here. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. The very words of Jesus and Jesus Himself is truth. You want to know what the truth is? Look at Jesus. You want to know what the truth is? Listen to Jesus. You want to know the truth? Then follow what Jesus says. John chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word is the truth. And who is that Word? Jesus. One and the same. Okay? Jesus was asked a question by His disciples as He was trying to prepare them for His coming departure. That He prepared them by telling them that He was going to prepare a place for them. And they were a little bit confused at, you know, what was going on. Lord, we don't know where You're going. How can we know the way to where You're going? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why is that? Because He is the truth. And the only way to get to the Father is by the truth. And that's Jesus.
What does that mean?
So, here's a way simply to remember that. No Jesus, no truth. No Jesus, no truth. Because there is no truth without Jesus. Plain and simple. But with Jesus, there is all truth. Something to think about. Let this sink in just a little bit. There are some today who believe in Jesus but have no room for His Word in their lives. In other words, I'm convinced that there are churches today that would kick Jesus out if He came through their doors because of the truth that He would hold them to. Just like those of His day did to Him. See? They hated what He was saying so much, as we saw earlier, they were willing to kill Him. And I'm convinced there are people today that would do the same thing to Jesus. Because His truth has no place in their lives. even as they go to church on Sunday mornings and so forth. You see, there are people gathered all across this nation right now that are worshiping in the name of Jesus that are not holding to His truth. And if Jesus were to show up in their doors, they would kick Him out. Because they don't want to hear the truth. And they will not hold to it. They do not, as Jesus, those who are following Him then, do not have room for His word. Finally, true disciples are set free. That's what Jesus says. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, again, allow that thought to really sink in. The disciples that Jesus was speaking to when He originally said these words, they missed it. When He talked to them about being set free, it just kind of like one of those, whoop, went right over their head. Their response to Jesus lets us know that. Okay? They said to Jesus, "We're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free?" Well, apparently, those Jews at that time had forgotten some of their history. Because they entered the land of Egypt as a family, and they left under Moses from the bondage of slavery that they were in. They had apparently forgotten that part. And by the way, they apparently forgot about those Assyrians also, who later came and conquered them. And then the Babylonians after them. They forgot about them too, apparently. And also the Romans, who were the present occupiers of that land, whose thumb they were living under. They had apparently forgotten about that when they said, "We've never been slaves of anyone." Dad? Have you ever been a slave of anyone?
Ryan.
The answer to that is yes. You see, Jesus said in verse 34, "He who sins is a slave of sin." If you've ever sinned, you are a slave to sin. How many of you have ever sinned? Good, I think I see everybody's hand up. If your hand's not up, come and see me afterwards. We can talk real seriously, okay? That means that you have been a slave of sin. Okay? That's all of us, isn't it? The Apostle Paul in Romans 3, verse 23 says, and here's that word again, and we keep coming back to this over and over again in the Bible, don't we? For how many people?
All
have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Is there anybody that doesn't include? The answer to that is no. So all of us then have been a slave to sin, according to what Jesus has said. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, the Apostle Paul says this, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." You see, we are still slaves to someone. Are we not? We are either slaves to sin, or we are slaves to righteousness. You know, we say, "Well, I'm not going to be a slave to anybody." Then you don't belong to Jesus. You are a slave to sin, and you don't even realize it. Okay, look what he says in verse 17. "But thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin." Okay, everybody should be smiling at this one, okay? "Though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted." You see, he's talking past tense here. You used to be slaves to sin. Now, you are a slave to righteousness. Why? Because you wholeheartedly obey the teachings. What teachings? The teachings of Jesus. The truth. When you obey the truth, then you've been set free from slavery to sin and death. And you have become a slave of righteousness. Now, Jesus says in verse 35 of John 8. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the, look at this, here's that word again, in the family. But a son belongs to it forever. See, it's all about the relationship, isn't it? If the Son sets you free, you are really free. Or you are free indeed. The only way to be set free is for the Son to set you free. That is through His work, through His truth, you can be set free. So here's the question for you. We're going to sing a song that Tom has chosen for us as an invitation song. I want you to be thinking about this question. Are you a true disciple? That would require you to be holding to Jesus' teachings. So the question you need to ask yourself is, am I doing that in my life? Now that's not talking about, am I living a perfect sinless life? That's not his point. His point is, am I striving to follow Jesus' teachings in my life each day? Are you doing that? Well, if you take a good, honest look at yourself, and you ask for the truth about you and your relationship with God, what would it say to you? Okay, I stopped preaching. I don't know if you noticed that. I stopped preaching a few moments ago, and now I'm meddling. Okay? And the reason I'm doing that is because this is serious business, folks. Because we're talking about the truth here, and we're talking about our eternal destiny. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus and not hold to His teachings. In other words, you can't say, I know what the Bible says about this, but, and do what you want to do instead of what Jesus is telling you to do. So maybe there's somebody here this morning who's been doing that. Okay? You need to understand that's not going to work. Maybe something going on in your life that you know is not what God wants of you. You need to understand you're not living the truth if that's how you're living. You need to repent of that. And you need to hold to the teaching of Jesus so that you truly will be His disciple. You see, I don't want anybody leaving here this morning and going out these doors and thinking that everything is great and everything is wonderful and everything is secure because you came to church this morning. If you are not living as a true disciple of Jesus, because if you're not, then it's not okay this morning just because you came to church. So as we sing this invitation song, I want you to really think about this question. Let it sink in. Am I a true disciple of Jesus? Am I striving to live my life according to His teaching? And if there's something that's going on in your life where you know you're not doing that, then please, I urge you, I beg you to take this opportunity. To first of all, repent of that. And secondly, to find encouragement from the folks here, the family here, that will encourage you and help you to be what God wants you to be and to follow His teachings. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, if you have not given your life to Christ yet, you need to understand you are lost. You are separated from God by your sins, and that is the truth. And you will remain so unless you repent of those sins and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. That's the good news, right? You see? And you can do that right now. this morning. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you want to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that separated you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now this morning. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. And I'll be right up front here to receive anyone who would like to come up. Let's stand together and sing.